Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday morning MV Pro call. Today is March 16th, and I'd like to welcome those of you that are here live, as well as those of you listening to this via recording, which, of course, you can do by subscribing to Motor Vitality on whatever podcast application you happen to use, or by visiting MotorVitality.com, where you can listen to years and years and years worth of archives. Love having you guys on live, though. That's love the discussions, love the conversations, and we're going to start it this week by asking the same questions we do just about every week, which is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? Anything that happened that's worthy of sharing with other professionals across the country, or anything that we can help you with? Any questions you might have? We do have a couple people that are newer on the call, so I want to explain those questions, you know, why I start that off. And sometimes we do start off with pretty good conversation that takes us in different directions than what we had intended. But the first question, you know, is there anything anybody learned this last week that you wish you had known before? I find that in this industry, actually in life in general, but it's incredible how many new things I learn on a regular basis in this industry. Things that maybe I knew 25 years ago when I first started, or things that I had forgotten, but often more times than not, it's just talking to somebody from another area in the country or learning what they do to treat water that might be a little different than what I have learned. Paul, who's on here, lived and worked in a different region in his business, and it's been, he and I recently have had just tons of conversations over that, and it's always great to get different ways, because there's no one right way. You know, you can take the WQA certification and read the books and go, oh, that's how you do it, except that it's not in a lot of areas in the country. You know, it may look good on paper, but it doesn't always work in the practical world. The second question I ask is there anything that happened worth sharing? Sometimes, you know, even experiences with the customer or in a basement, or for some of you outside in a garage or wherever you put it in. That's always beneficial and interesting to hear as well. And of course, we try and stay away from talking about specific products or technologies or brands or manufacturers on this call, but you know, sometimes we do run across things that we've never seen before, you know, and I like to have an opportunity to try and answer those. You know, there's quite a bit of experience even on this call, people that have been doing it a long time. So it's a great forum to kind of toss something out and see if something's ever happened to you, or, you know, a customer said this, how should I respond, or that type of thing. So that's why we do that, and that's going to segue into our topic today.
Kelly, sorry.
Go ahead, Jen.
I'm so sorry. I know we want to segue into our topic, which I am actually really excited for, but I do have a question for everybody. I had one of our sales pros send me a photo of two filters. One was a new filter, and one was one that was just gross. It was brown. It had almost what looked like gravel. You know, when he rubbed his fingers on it, that's what was on his fingers, was almost like gravel. And he said it was municipal water. And, you know, so one of my questions I always ask is, are they at the end of the service line? And he said, yes, this was on a cul-de-sac that they had always had it. The house was 12 years old, and since the day that they, you know, started running their water, they've had that issue. How do the rest of you work with that? What type of, and of course we can't use names, but what types of equipment do you use on that? You just a regular filter, you know, pleated filter, spiral round filter, or spin down? What does everybody else use?
Like when you have regular sediment coming from Right. So basically a moderate amount of sediment coming probably from it being at the end of a run or the sediment that is picked up from the municipality coming into the home.
Yes.
Jen, do you get it, Paul? Can I ask a question about this? Hey, Jen. Number one is, do you know how often it's changing the cartridge? Is it, you know, every other day? Is it once a month? Trying to gauge the magnitude. And the second question is, okay, so it's not brutal. And then has he talked to the municipality? Some municipalities in this situation, if they're aware of it, may set up a regular flushing from the hydrants. Or in some cases, we've even seen them where they're running water all the time because they do take some level of responsibility when it's really bad. But you know, do you know if he's had a conversation with them, with the water department?
I'm not sure, but I know that that is something I usually bring up in the spring, is especially northern states where, you know, all of a sudden you get the telephone starts ringing that everybody's water is turning pink or, you know, orange and stuff like that. And that's usually because they're flushing lines and flushing the hydrants and stuff. This is in a northern state. And the ground is still very frozen. So I'm not sure that if they're flushing lines or hydrants or anything right now.
Yeah, I think, Paul, your question is pretty relevant. You know, if it's something that is, if they're having to change those filters all the time, like once a week or more than having, it seems like having a backwashing filter or something that's going to purge that sediment out, would be better than and less expensive, and especially in the long run, than having to change filters all the time. Is that what you were getting at? Might it have an impact on the type of treatment?
Yeah, and it also depends on the customer's preference, right? Some customers would say, I don't care if it's every 4 months, 6 months, I'd rather spend the money and do X and not change cartridges ever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I was just trying to gauge the magnitude of it.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I was just... that's great advice. I told them I would ask, and I completely forgot until we were talking.
Right. Before we segue into into our topic, which we are going to talk about, it did just remind me. You know, Jen and I both are going to be, anybody else on the call headed to DC next week for the fly-in, for the DC fly-in with WQA?
Yes, this is Elaine. We are.
Yeah, Elaine, we're going to see you there as well. That's
awesome.
So, Elaine, let me ask you, why bother? Why go to that thing? I mean, I know why I go, but why do you go?
Well, we like to meet our legislators, and we just like to be able to inform them about what's going on in our particular state relative to water. I think Ken's gone every year they've had it. I've not joined him every year, but I am this year. So we have some appointments made with our congressmen and our senators. And so it's just to educate them about what we do. And if there's any bills that we want support on, then we share that with them. And my husband, well, as you know, is on the board too. So that's part of it. Ken loves politics. He was a former politician. Yeah. So that just goes in line with who he is.
Yeah. Happy birthday last week to him, by the way.
Oh, thank you. I'll let him know.
So that's you're exactly right. And this, I think this is, so our topic today is why go to, you know, to the WQA convention. And in between that, so that's coming up this time next month. In between there, we've got, we're going to DC next week to do exactly what Elaine just talked about. This is part of, so every year, the Water Quality Association, we try and coordinate it around World Water Week. But we basically have a couple days where we go in and we meet with legislators, and WQA tries to organize the meetings. We work with a group that a lobbying group that helps coordinate meetings with the legislators that represent the areas that we're from. So I'll be meeting with both Jen and I will be meeting with different legislators from Michigan and the surrounding areas, for example. And it's really an amazing time to sit down and educate them or their staffers about our industry. And we really are the voice. And it's kind of incredible. I remember, for example, the first time I went 5 or 6 years ago, there were very few of the legislators that we sat and talked with that had ever heard of this thing called PFAS. Now, everybody knows about PFAS. And in fact, just this last week, the EPA proposed a national primary drinking water regulation for PFAS. And so it's actually gone from what the heck is this to now becoming, as it should be, a national issue. And so the more we, you know, when you look at it, we've got like 2,500, WQA has about a little over 2,500 member companies. But I think I heard somebody the other day say that is comprised of about 70,000 voices that are attached to those companies or that are individually involved there. And that's a lot of people, a lot of voters, but it's also a lot of people. The more people we have that can get out there and speak intelligently about that to the people that make the laws that affect us, that have an impact on us. I mean, we rest assured that there are people from the Plumbers Association, from the AWWA, the municipalities, you know, those people definitely have voices out there speaking to their representatives, and we should be as well. So now our topic, why should you go to the WQA meetings? I think this is one of the reasons that I would suggest, and look, I know that there's a lot of people on this call that are not able to go. Maybe you work at a company that maybe you're the only, maybe you can't afford to take the 4 days off because you're wearing too many hats. You know, maybe you're in sales in your company. You know, have you asked if your company would, you know, say, hey, I'd like to go to this thing? Have you asked them to see if they would maybe support you and you could go as a representative of your company? You know, because there's a lot of value. One of the biggest reasons to go is that you have an opportunity to talk to so many people within our industry, to brush shoulders with them, to sit down and chat with them, to see how much bigger our industry is than just the little bubble that you're in. But it also is a huge step to making you that expert and that person who's qualified to sit down and educate your local representatives or you know, your even just not necessarily representatives, but people in your community. You know, there's just so much knowledge that you gain. It's almost exhausting. You finish after the end of the 3 days, and it's just like wow, I can't. There's, you know, you almost have to take a deep breath. But Jen, I'm going to hand the floor over to you because I don't know if you have a more bullet pointed you know, list of some of the things to consider on why we should participate in these events.
Well, I'll go ahead and I'll start off with the poll. And I love that Corey sent out the poll, and Corey, if you're on or you're listening, I appreciate you doing that because it is kind of fun. So in our poll, it asked if you go to the WQA convention every year, or if you go to the WQA convention, and 33.3% said, yes, I go every year. 16.7 said, yes, this is my first time, which is exciting. 33.3 said, no, I can't justify the cost. I do want to kind of talk about that in a minute here. But then 16.7 said, no, but I haven't looked into it either. So, and I can understand the haven't looked into it because, like you said, Kelly, you might be in a position where, you know, either managers or owners can't live without you for those few days, or you don't have the support of them going, I understand that. But, you know, it's a really amazing thing to do. It really is. Education, I think the education is, and I guess maybe I'm going to go a little bit in order as to what the schedule is, because I don't have set bullet points. But so the education, we talked about boot camp. We had Candace on, and boot camp is going to be really exciting. Now, it's kind of funny that we're talking about boot camp, and there were people that said, no, I can't justify the cost. And, you know, that's part of what boot camp is, justifying the cost of going to these things. You know, that's what this year's meeting is about, is justifying the cost of going to these conventions. And if you can't go to this convention, then I think it's really important that you go to your regional conventions.
Yeah.
But the and feel free, anybody, to pop in at any time. So the we have the education on Tuesday and Wednesday. We made sure this year that we have beginner class. I guess if I say beginner class, basic. So we're kind of going along with the MEP a little bit, where we have the basic classes and then we have the master classes and a couple in between. But we do have the basics that, you know, I think toilet talk is one of them that we're having, which I thought would be a lot of fun. You know, what do you find in the back of the toilet? Things like that. And in the next couple weeks, I can list off a couple more of the classes that are the basics. I'm speaking on the WQRF, the Water Quality Research Foundation, how to use their studies in their in your presentation and in your marketing. And then we also have Kelly, you and Paul, you're talking about, you started a water treatment, and Andy Lane. I purchased a water treatment company, now what? You know, things like that. I think also I'm doing the creating, how to create a self-generating sales team. So there's business and there's technical. If you have your certification, perfect time to get your continued education points. And then we have the trade show. The trade show, you will be able to find everything from financing to filters to consulting services, training services, and equipment. You find everything there. And what's really awesome is you get to see the newest technology, which is way cool. That's something that, you know, I recently talked to somebody who's been out of the industry for about 10 years. And as I was talking to them about, like, the new technology, they just can't believe what, in the past 10 years, what has changed. So trade show is really cool. And I think just meeting everybody else and seeing everybody else and realizing that your water treatment is, that the water treatment industry isn't just you and your competitors in a little teeny area. And what's really cool is when you have competitors that are sitting at the same table talking. And they aren't talking about their equipment. They might be talking about a couple of customers. But they just sit and they talk about the community and what's going on in water in their part of the earth.
Yeah, this is the part where we have to remind everybody, though, that the antitrust laws are abided by. Right? Right?
Definitely, so.
Yeah, so when we're talking about those conversations occur much the way we try and have them occur on this call, which is, you know, because it doesn't matter what brand you have, the technologies, the core technologies are basically the same. You know, the treatment methods, your particular manufacturer brand may have a different feature on it that does something different than somebody else's, but the core technology is basically the same, and that's what you can pick up and learn. You know, you're not really learning, you know, what their prices are, or what their, you know, or the proprietary information. That's not, that's not generally the conversations you're going to find.
Yep. So who else goes, and what do you have to say? What do you love about it? I mean, Eileen, you're on the call. I know you go. If there's somebody that has never gone but you're planning on going, what are you excited about? So I'm going to open it up to everybody else.
This is Rob in PA. So I, real quick, my partner and I got into the industry about 18 months ago. So came from the commercial side of water treatment, kind of dip it into the residential world here. We just booked our plane ticket last night. We're going to go out and do boot camp. We're going to do the classes. We're going to try to stay for the trade show, but we have to watch our time. So we're looking forward to meeting, you know, the other individuals in the industry. Looking forward to some of the training, of course, and being a new business in the residential world, learning from boot camp what we can get out of it and kind of better ourselves in the marketplace. So we're looking forward to it. And honestly, Jen, I did speak to you offline here, and you recommended that. So we kind of adjusted our schedule. So we're looking forward to really diving in.
Oh, I appreciate that. I know. I'm so excited that you're going. I can't wait to see you at boot camp.
Thank you.
Yeah. Who else? Who here is, you know, who here has never really thought of going and why? You know, maybe it's just not in your wheelhouse. And, you know, I'm kind of curious about those of you that are on this call that are going, yeah, that's not really relevant. Well, that's good.
Right.
So that's, well, I did want to just pick up on something that you mentioned, Jen, that if you are not able, because, you know, the truth is when I was in sales initially, if I had wanted to go, it would have been completely on my, the company that I initially worked with, it would have been on my dime. And that's a very real decision that has to be made. You know, do I go to this thing on my dime? It can be pretty expensive, you know, just when I was in sales, and it never even occurred to me to, it honestly wasn't even really in my wheelhouse. You know, I didn't really think about it. I didn't know what they were. I didn't know how big they were. It was just this thing that every once in a while got mentioned that I was not part of. And so it wouldn't have meant anything to me in the company. I mean, I could have definitely learned now, knowing what I know about them, you know, and everything, it would have definitely benefited me. But I never would have thought about even going on my dime or going and asking the company. However, what could have been done, and I wish I had known about them, really, were some of the local and regional WQA meetings. So they're not as big, but in many ways, that's actually – you know, there are people that are there locally, they're dealing with the same local issues, and there's some really great regionals. I'm actually going in 2 weeks, and I'm speaking at the Ohio Water Quality Association meeting. It's usually a small group. Last time I went, there were only, you know, about 30 people that in attendance, but that's great because you can sit down and you can have those kind of intimate conversations, and you get to know the people that are dealing with the same types of issues as you. Eastern is generally a little bit bigger, and that one covers those of you out on the East Coast. Rob, I would encourage you to go to that one too. I've been to that one. I know PWQA, Elaine, you're involved in the Pacific Water Quality Association. That's California and you know, Pacific states. And that one's usually pretty big. Anyway, if you don't know where those are or where they meet or when they meet, you can get that list at WQA, and I would encourage that. They tend to be a little less expensive, you know, and a little less time requirement. But the value is, I think they both offer different types of value. You know, I remember the first time I walked out onto the, you know, at the National WQA, the convention floor, and I saw all the exhibitors, that's when I realized, holy crap, this thing is more than just selling water softeners and reverse osmosis systems. This is huge. You know, they usually have an international aisle where you have, you know, all the vendors there, and you realize that this is a global industry. That's when you really picked it up. So it's the education, it's meeting people, you know, putting names to faces. It's learning from the people with just vast amounts of knowledge in the industry. But it's also just this feeling of realizing that you're part of something global, something gargantuan. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and, you know, I remember the first year that I had attended, I was a little bit overwhelmed. And it was, you know, because it seemed like everybody knew everybody, and, I mean, it's almost like you're this little outsider, you know, going in. But within just a short time of being there, like especially sitting in the classes and things like that, and then getting out on the trade show floor, people come up and they talk to you, and you form a bond with people before you even leave. And then when you start seeing everybody year after year, it's just super awesome. I also want to kind of throw out there, I know it's for those that are on the Water Treatment Pros group, if you are attending, we are putting together a meeting on Tuesday evening. We're going to, one of the bars over, restaurant bars over in the Link, we are going to meet there just so everybody can meet face-to-face. I totally forgot to mention that. But so, yeah, if you're interested, let me know, or look on Water Treatment Pros. We have some information on there.
Yeah. I know this is a big infomercial for, you know, basically listening to Jen and I gush about the WQA convention. but there's a reason, though, that we gush over it. And I encourage you, if you have a way, to explore why we find so much value in it. You know, so, and I appreciate you guys participating and sticking around. And Jen, what is our booth, just in case anybody interested?
Our booth number is 524.
524. I was thinking 254. So 524. So we'll have a booth there. We are also presenting all of us are you and I both are presenting in different places. I did want to mention if you're not going to boot camp and you are in there a day early, unfortunately opposite of boot camp is the PFAS forum, and they actually have as a speaker the real life attorney that Mark Ruffalo portrayed in the movie Dark Waters is speaking. So lots of really interesting stuff going on. So go ahead, Paul.
Can I mention one thought, Paul, about this convention? If somebody says to me, you know, what do you get out of it? Why do you go? Whatever. To some degree, it's sort of like a faith situation where there's an intangible that I can't necessarily identify as to what it is I'm going to get out of the show until I go and you interact with people and you find, wow, geez, I'm really glad that I did X or I saw this. So you don't necessarily know ahead of time. Sometimes you know what you're looking for at the show, but sometimes it's an intangible.
I absolutely agree.
Excellent point,
All right. With that, everybody, thank you very much. I appreciate everybody's time. We will next week be talking to you from Washington, D.C. So looking forward to that. And so we will talk to you next week, if not before. So be safe, everybody. Have a great weekend.
Thank you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.